coming up next on Functional Moms Podcast.
Vagus nerve dysfunction also impacts your immune system, your ability to manage blood sugar. It has so many different functions. One of its main functions is in an anti-inflammatory role. And we know that the basis of most diseases is inflammation. So the vagus nerve is at the forefront of keeping inflammation under control. So if you don't have an optimal vagus nerve, you're gonna be in more of that stressed state. Your body can't repair and heal and regenerate when it's in constantly in a sympathetic state. It's like the brakes and the gas. We need both in the car, right? But if you're constantly on the gas and then you're trying to push the brakes to balance it out, those brakes are going to wear out eventually. So when we're in that inflammatory, that stress state, our body is in more of an inflammatory and not in a kind of rest and rejuvenation state. So you're going to end up with chronic diseases that can be linked to stress.
Welcome to Functional Moms Podcast, lifestyle medicine for women over 40. Let's age on our own terms. This episode is for you if you suffer from conditions like anxiety, depression, irritable bowel syndrome, migraines, and more. A healthy vagus nerve may just be the secret to feeling your best.
Rebecca Arcina is back on the show today. She is a certified functional nutritional counselor and functional medicine certified health coach dedicated to empowering women over 40 to optimize their gut health and get to the root cause of chronic symptoms.
Unlike other coaches who focus on surface-level strategies like macro and calorie counting, Rebecca digs deeper because she believes women deserve more than just symptom management. Her mission is to help women reconnect with their body signals and break free from one-size-fits-all nutrition advice so they can heal and thrive.
Rebecca, it is a pleasure to have you back on the show today.
I was so excited to be invited back. Thank you, ladies, so much.
Yeah, last time we learned so much about IBS and gut health from you. And today we are taking a deep dive into our vagus nerve connection. This was a hot topic at the annual functional medicine meeting in Las Vegas earlier this year. So let's start by having you explain to us first, what is the vagus nerve?
Right. Well, let's get into it here. I'll try to get super deep in the weeds of the science because that's where my brain tends to go. But the vagus nerve is actually a pair of nerves. It's our 10th cranial nerve. It starts out on either side, you know, comes down on either side of the neck and joins in kind of mid thorax here to be the vagus nerve. But it technically is two. It starts out as two, innervates or touches multiple organ systems throughout the body. It touches your kidneys, your stomach, your pancreas, your intestines, your liver, your lungs. So it has multiple functions and it's part of the autonomic nervous system or the automatic nervous system, which is the nervous system that we don't consciously control. Things like breathing and swallowing and digestion, that sort of thing. And the vagus nerve is kind of the conductor of the symphony of the autonomic nervous system.
Wow. Okay. So it sounds like, I guess, where we get a little confused on it is how would you know if something was wrong with your vagus nerve or that it was imbalanced?
Yeah, it's funny because I had someone ask the other day, how do I know if I need to work on my vagus nerve? And pretty much anybody could benefit from working on your vagus nerve because in this society we live in, high pace, go, go, go. A lot of us living in the sympathetic, you know, fight or flight state, especially for your audience, ladies over 40, right? We've been working hard at a career, at raising a family. We've probably at one point or another succumbed to the diet culture, you know, of eating less and exercising more. And so all these things create cumulative stress in our bodies, and that impacts the vagus nerve function. So you might know if you need vagus nerve work if you have any digestive issues, because vagus nerve is heavily involved in proper digestion. If you have trouble with anxiety, if you have, you know, like I said, digestive is huge, but anxiety, breathing issues, asthma, shortness of breath, that sort of thing, because the vagus nerve is involved in all of those
those functions. So anybody pretty much can benefit, I think, from working on vagus nerve.
Okay, so I will share that I have suffered from digestive issues, IBS. I know last time you were on, we talked about many different things we can do. And one of the biggest things you said was that stress contributes to your IBS. And I think that maybe a piece of the puzzle for me could be this vagus nerve thing, because I feel like maybe I am in a more fight or flight sympathetic state often. You know, not, I wouldn't say I'm in it constantly, but I think that I maybe tend to just go that way. Like I'm a more, maybe you would say I'm a type A or whatever you want to call it. And so me consciously working on this, I've been told even by my nutritionist could really help my gut issues. And, you know, but I have to admit, like I found it a bit overwhelming. Like it's like, where do I even start? Like, could this really make a difference?
Right. And it's one of those things that you can't really see, right? You can't see, you can tell if you have a broken leg. You can tell if you, you know, have dysfunction sometimes in other bodily systems. But to say, hey, my vagus nerve isn't working right, it sounds kind of out there.
Yep. It totally does. So we're really curious then on where you could get started with something like this and how it could be like the missing link for people that just can't seem to get 100% better from maybe their gut issues or their anxiety or what, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Can I share just a little piece of my story about this?
Okay. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I had, which I talked to you about on the previous episode, a lot of gut health issues for a very long time. And I got caught up in the cycle of restriction. You know, if it must be something I'm eating. So let me remove this food. Let me do another test and remove something else. So we get so caught up in, I think, or myself personally, what can I remove that we don't necessarily often consider what can I add? What can I add to my diet? What can I add to my lifestyle practices to improve my health? So for me personally, I had removed so many foods trying to manage my gut issues that I was nutrient deficient. And again, I was, like you said, type A, go, 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 perfectionist, you know, stressed from probably the day I came out of the womb and, you know, fell for the low calorie, lots of exercise. I was doing boot camp workouts 7 days a week and, you know, put so much stress on my body that the just removing the foods was not doing anything really to heal my gut. Mm-hmm. So I knew there had to be a missing piece. There had to be a missing piece. I had had, you know, a functional nutrition doctor say, functional medicine doctor say to me before, it's stress. You need to learn to manage your stress. And I kind of blew it off. You know, that's what they all say, right? That's the catch-all. It's stress. And then,
and it's overwhelming too.
It is overwhelming, right? Because changing the food is easy.
Yeah.
It can.
Right? Okay. Right. I can have this. I can't have this. Simple, black and white. But changing to get up later, to go for a walk in the morning, to change your routine around mealtimes. I mean, right. All of those things are so overwhelming that it just, like you said, it seems almost like, where do I start? So for vagus nerve work, there are simple things that you can do. And I don't know if you want to get into that now or save that for a little bit later in the episode, if you want to talk a little bit more about
How the stress. Yeah. I mean, well, I think we want to have a good understanding, I guess, of why we should really care about this first.
Yeah. Yeah, well, vagus nerve dysfunction also impacts your immune system, your ability to manage blood sugar. It has so many different functions. One of its main functions is anti-inflammatory role. And we know that the, you know, basis of most diseases is inflammation. So the vagus nerve is at the forefront of keeping inflammation under control. So if you don't have an optimal vagus nerve, you're going to be in more of that stressed state. Your body can't repair and heal and regenerate when it's in constantly in a sympathetic state. It's like the brakes and the gas. We need both in the car, right? But if you're constantly on the gas and then you're trying to push the brake to balance it out, those brakes are going to wear out eventually. So when we're in that inflammatory, that stress state, our body is in more of an inflammatory and not in a kind of rest and rejuvenation state. So you're going to end up with chronic diseases that can be linked to stress.
So interesting, right. Like, so I'm trying to heal myself with food, but like you said, I'm not getting that rest and digest piece if I'm constantly in that accelerate mode.
Right. Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense to me. Yeah.
And if you can't digest and absorb your food, then you're not getting the benefit, you know, of the foods that you're trying so diligently to eat. Mm-hmm. You know what healthy foods you want to eat, but if you're not absorbing those, then you're not really getting the benefit or the full benefit.
Right. I just want to peel back a moment for any listener that is still a little bit lost in terms of what and where this vagus nerve is. I know you described it in the beginning, but I just want to be clear that the vagus nerve is my understanding. It's one of the 12 nerves coming out of the brain, right? And it comes on the right and left side, and then it meets in the middle in the body, and it basically wraps around all the major organs in our body, and it connects to our stomach.
Yes.
Okay. And I feel like there's a connection, like when they talk about like your gut instinct or, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This type of thing. And for the first time, like when I started learning about the vagus nerve, I was like, wow, I'm sure that there is a connection with like, use your gut instinct. Like, well, what does your gut tell you? Right. It's like your gut is like your second brain. And the vagus nerve is actually what connects our stomach to our brain. And, maybe I'm jumping a little bit ahead here, but I know that in your PDF that explains in detail, Kristen and I both found it very interesting that it says that the communication from the organs to the brain and the brain to the organs through the channel of the vagus nerve is 20% the brain talking to the organs, but 80% of the organs speaking to the brain. And that was very, very, very interesting.
That's very surprising because we always think our brain is controlling everything. It's telling everything in the body what to do.
Yeah. So the brain is getting the signals from the food we're eating and telling, going through the vagus nerve, goes through the small intestine and then through the liver. And then that sends signals up to the brain saying, hey, you've got this much fat, this much carb, this much protein in this meal. So, I'm satiated. I've got enough nutrients for a while now and I'm not going to be searching for more. There's a big link between the satiety reflex too, because the stretch receptors in the stomach send, are linked to the vagus nerve, and that goes up to the brain and says, hey, you're full. So if your vagus nerve is not working properly, those hunger and satiety signals and hormones aren't working properly either. You're not going to be producing the right amount of stomach acid or digestive enzymes, and the motility is impacted as well, which means that food moving through your digestive system. And the longer it stays in your system, the more chance it has to have something like small intestinal bacterial overgrowth or constipation. Or I have a client that I work with who has gastroparesis, which means her stomach is basically paralyzed. And we are doing vagus nerve work with her to help that as well.
Wow. So that basically explains how the vagus nerve plays a role in irritable bowel syndrome.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the SIBO thing makes a lot of sense. If the food is sitting there too long, that gives you that overgrowth because it's not moving through properly. And that's controlled then, you're saying, by the communication of the vagus nerve to the gut. Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is amazing. And so how does the vagus nerve play a role when it comes, because I know you talk about like in your PDF about in depression and anxiety.
Yeah, well, through that, we're looking at like the microbiome. We're looking at the composition of the microbiome, which sends the signals through the vagus nerve to the brain. So if you have a dysbiotic, an imbalanced microbiome, then there are certain bacteria that are creating byproducts called lipopolysaccharides, LPS, which are toxins basically to the system. And those can travel through the vagus nerve into the brain. They can cross the blood-brain barrier, and that's creating a toxic brain. So you've heard of leaky gut. You can also have leaky brain. But those signals are going up through the vagus nerve from the gut. And also the communication from the gut to the brain helps tell the brain, when and the amount of neurotransmitters to create as well, because those are created in the brain. They're also created in the gut. Serotonin, dopamine, those are things like GABA. Those are all created in the gut as well. So you've got those same neurotransmitters and chemicals in the gut that you have in the brain.
Yes. Wow. I just got to say, I don't know about you, Kristen, but I've heard of leaky gut. I've never heard of leaky brain. Have you heard of leaky brain, Kristen?
I don't think I have either. I have heard a little bit more about how your microbiome can impact your mental health. Like I have heard about that a little bit. But so you're saying essentially, and for people that don't know, can you explain the microbiome a little bit? Like most of our listeners are familiar because in functional medicine, it's like the cornerstone.
microbes. It is the thing.
But just in case someone listening has no idea.
Trillions of little microorganisms living inside of us, fungus, parasites, yeast, bacteria, and we have more actually cells that are of fungus, bacteria, yeast than we have human cells. So technically we are more of that than we are human cells.
Yes.
They have their own DNA. They have their own way of communicating. And it's like a little bustling little city in there. And if we're not paying attention and, you know, feeding them the right foods and giving them rest and exercising, then there can be an overgrowth. And there could be an overgrowth too from things like, you know, toxic water, or if you get some sort of food poisoning, or multiple things can cause that balance to be thrown off, you know, over exercising, not eating enough, eating too much. There's so many different things that can cause an imbalance in that bacteria, and they kind of run the show. I mean, they can actually send signals because certain bacteria actually prefer things like sugar and carbs. So they can send signals to the brain telling you to eat more sugar and carbs. So it's not your cravings that you're feeding, it's the cravings of your microbiome. So yeah, they're that little ecosystem within us that is really important to keep in balance for our overall health and wellness.
Wow.
So I'm curious about, I guess, how can we fix our vagus nerve to fix some of these problems?
Yeah. Regulating our vagus nerve.
Yes. Right? How would we regulate it?
Yes. Yes. There are multiple different things that you can do that are simple and free. You know, everyone wants to sell you a pill or a potion or a shake, but these are different things that you can do.
I got the magic potion.
That's right. And a lot of it is creating that balance between the sympathetic and parasympathetic, because we're never going to not be stressed. You have to have some stress. I mean, we want some stress in our lives because think about, you know, weight training, you know, you need that stress to build up stronger.
Good.
So we want that kind of that Goldilocks effect. We want a good balance between the two. And to start doing that, number one, awareness, you know, realize that if you have digestive issues, if you have mental health issues, if you have any inflammatory disease, you know, arthritis, bursitis, any of the itises, then you could probably benefit from a little bit of work on the vagus nerve. And some simple free things to do, gargling, humming, chanting the word om creates a vibration in the back of your throat that helps the vagus nerve. Prioritizing sleep, because sleep is like the gym for the vagus nerve. It goes to work when you're sleeping. So doing anything you can to prioritize sleep. And let's see, singing, laughing, social connection is huge, because that social connection and laughter helps to tone the vagus nerve. And so many times we get caught up as women with our to-do list that, I don't know about you, but I can go a day and be like, gosh, I didn't even laugh today. When was the last time you had a really good belly laugh? Well, when you did that, you were helping your vagus nerve. There are some external vagus nerve stimulators that are not free, but that is something that they've been doing a lot of studies on and getting really good feedback on those. And they also have found in a recent study that it improves your learning and improves your memory, your cognition. So those of us in our, you know, 40s with that brain fog, vagus nerve work can help with that as well. So there's a lot of different things to do nutrition-wise. We can talk about that. If that would be helpful.
Yeah. Just before we go there, I'm curious then, how could you measure, like, is there any way to measure the improvement of your vagal tone or something like that?
Heart rate variability is number one.
Okay. So that's so funny, because I was thinking, would HRV?
Okay. Yes, you are right on. Yep. HRV, improving your HRV. Yes.
So tell people what that is for people that don't know.
Yep. Heart rate variability. If you have an Oura ring, if you have a Whoop band, then you probably are measuring your HRV. Heart rate variability is literally the time in milliseconds between beats of the heart. And a higher heart rate variability is linked to better cognitive function, better workout recovery, better overall wellness. And a lower heart rate variability is associated with more, you know, more disease, more dysfunction of cardiovascular, respiratory, you know, any inflammatory conditions. Like with my HRV, if I'm getting sick, I can see a huge drop in my HRV. That is like the gold standard measurement of how balanced is your parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous systems. So that's a good way to do it. If you have you know, a way to measure HRV. And I know, I think last time we talked about the bowel transit time test, that sesame seed test as well. So that's a way to see if your bowel transit time is improving, which can be a direct reflection of better vagus nerve function as well.
Okay. You know, just maybe somebody didn't hear our that episode that you were on before. Talk about just a little background on the sesame seed.
Yeah, it's very simple. You'll take a tablespoon of white sesame seeds, put it in a cup of water, 6 or 8 ounces of water, drink it down. Don't chew the sesame seeds. Drink it down. Note the time and date on your calendar that you drank those sesame seeds. Then you are going to have to look in the toilet when you have a next bowel movement. You want to mark down when you first start seeing those sesame seeds and when you stop seeing them. And ideal bowel transit time, you know, optimal is about 18 to 24 hours. If it's 12 hours or less, then your system may be moving too quickly and you may not be absorbing the nutrients from your food. And if it's like 24, 36 hours or more, you may have, your system may be a little bit slow. So you may tend toward more constipation, and that creates more of kind of a toxic environment in your system. You're not able to detox the hormones, the toxins, that sort of thing, if your system is sluggish. So that's, you know, another way to do it. But yeah, just to test that.
Okay. So I'm hearing if I start doing some of these things that you suggested to improve the vagal tone, which would be the humming, the singing, chanting type things. Yeah. I know in your PDF, and we will share in the PDF actually within the show notes, your PDF about vagus nerve for people. But you also mentioned like taking a cold shower. So all these little things, if I do them consistently enough, I should start to see a difference in either my bowel transit time or my HRV. Is there anything other way I could measure that I might be able to notice a change?
You could ask a spouse or a friend if you seem more calm and centered.
Okay.
Because it's going to help kind of bring you back down into a more centered state because you're balancing that sympathetic, parasympathetic. So even keeping a journal, something as simple as a mood journal, you know, and seeing if your moods are improving, seeing if your sleep is improving, you know, seeing if your food cravings are improving. So all of these things.
Awareness.
Yes, exactly. Awareness.
That self-awareness, having some self-awareness. So I would say, like, if you are being intentional about improving your vagus nerve, then it would be like, okay, I'm going to really start being aware. I'm going to, you know, really start looking at how am I feeling? Am I sleeping better? And that type of thing. And then maybe doing the sesame seed to make sure that I'm digesting in optimal time and that type of thing.
Yeah. Is your digestion better? If you're somebody who frequently has, you know, reflux or feel like food's just sitting in your stomach
or bloating and things like that. Yeah.
Bloating. Yeah. So you can track that as well and see if your digestive symptoms are improving.
And we did have to ask you about caffeine and alcohol, because those things we've heard are not great for the vagus nerve. So if you could explain about that a little bit.
Yeah, how does that impact the vagus nerve?
Alcohol, actually, that is, you know, kind of a toxin.
Helping,
to
no,
liver.
I'm only kidding.
That's what?
Helping, no, I'm only kidding.
Yeah. You know, calms me down.
A toxin to the liver. So when your liver's processing alcohol, it's not doing any of the restorative things it needs to do. Caffeine, a stimulant, but I'll be honest, I don't know 100% what, you know, what impact that has on the vagus nerve.
You know, that's funny because I thought when I was looking at like caffeine and alcohol, I'm thinking like one, the alcohol feels like it would make it like sluggish and like, you know, and down. And then I thought of like the caffeine as something that maybe would be like.
Well, caffeine does promote the release of acetylcholine. So I guess caffeine, you know, maybe isn't a bad thing in certain doses, you know? Yeah.
Right.
But the alcohol, I'm just thinking mostly the, like you said, kind of, it's a depressant, right? It kind of slows everything down. Yeah.
Well, I have to say, like, I've noticed with my Oura Ring, after even just drinking like one or two drinks, my HRV goes down.
Yes.
So it definitely has an impact where as you think it's relaxing you, but obviously it's putting stress on the nervous system because you can see it.
Yeah.
So you're looking at, two different with caffeine, you're looking at, you know, increase in sympathetic. With alcohol, you're looking at a, you know, increase in parasympathetic probably as far as the balance, the teeter totter, you know, the caffeine is more on the sympathetic in the,
And I know that you kind of touched a little bit before on the devices. So what are your thoughts on the devices that are designed to improve the vagus nerve? Because when we were in Vegas, there were a lot of talks. Vegas. What was that?
Vegas. How about that, huh?
We were in Vegas and they were talking about the vagus nerve.
I mean, maybe that's why they highlighted it. They literally kicked off the meeting like about the vagus nerve. That was like the first talk. Like it was all about that. But yes, they had a booth there where you could try and look at some of these devices. Yeah. We did not get a turn to do that. But so yeah, we're curious what you think about that.
There's a lot of research coming out with those now. So I'm just fascinated. I don't have one myself. I have a client I work with who has chronic migraines and she is using one of the ones that's a prescription only. She's been using it when she gets her migraines and her migraine specialist just approved for her to do it in more of a proactive kind of way. And so she's going to use that daily and see if it makes a difference. But there's a lot of research coming out with that. You know, I'm very intrigued. I love gadgets. I love wearables. So at some point I probably will get one and play around with it, but I have not yet done that myself.
Yeah. That's really cool. So I just want to say also that we went through your PDF about the vagus nerve and like Kristen and I knew about the vagus nerve. Like I'm like not seriously schooled on it or anything, but I had the concept and I understood some of the things about it and how it helped and et cetera. But you know, your PDF breaking it down was really, it was very, very well done, Rebecca. It was really great. I learned more things and just the way that you broke it down, I feel like, you know, for, you know, your average, you know, 40 plus woman out there who's, you know, managing her life, her kids, because she's probably in that sandwich, her aging parent, you know, it's just such a great, great source to have because, you know, it just seems to me also like that the vagus nerve is like when we talk about the root cause, right, in functional medicine, like I think of like the vagus nerve, like root cause. And
absolutely.
And just I was telling Kristen earlier before we met up with you that last week, like I was away on a trip and, you know, I went to go see my daughter. And it was wonderful. And the plane ride was very stressful. It was very like turbulence the whole ride. But I came back and then I, you know, come back to the real world and I had a lot of things to manage. And I started getting so tight. Like I felt like I noticed it when I went to turn my head when I was driving to like look over my left shoulder. And I was like, wow. And I went and went to like a massage place and just asked them to just like give me a massage in my head and through my neck and my shoulder blades and such. And it made such a huge difference. And he was like just going up and down across my neck, like which is where the vagus nerve travels through in there. And it just made such a huge difference in my range of motion with my neck and my posture, but also just in, like you said, I noticed I felt more centered. I just felt better. So I realize now talking to you right this moment that I was restoring my vagus nerve. And that was like my instinct. I'm like, I need to go somewhere. And I love going to this place because it's just like, you can just, it's like you pay $1 a minute. I'm like,
nice.
I want 20 minutes. I don't have to get up. I just lay on the table fully clothed. You know, it's just like a really quick.
That's easy. Yeah.
Yeah. Quick, easy thing. And it made a huge difference, not just for that moment, but for like the next couple of days.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that's.
Yeah, the vagus nerve travels right along your carotid and your jugular. So that tells you how important it is, right? Because those are pretty important structures in your body.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And so, I mean, so many of us carry our attention in that area. I mean, I do.
Yeah,
completely.
Sure.
Like, so it's interesting that it's affected by that. And so, and we did read in your PDF too, that massage can help and acupuncture.
Yep. Acupuncture in the ear.
Chiropractic care. Okay.
That's wonderful. Well, being mindful of our time today, Rebecca, what are two simple things that we can do today to support our vagus nerve?
Yes. Well, one thing I didn't mention that's huge is breathing. This is the easiest thing to do. You always have it with you. You don't need the gadgets. You don't need any devices. And with the breathing exercises, I like to do the 4-7-8 breathing. I'm sure you ladies have done that before. And I know I've seen Kristen doing the alternate nostril breathing, but the 4-7-8 breathing. You'll breathe in to the count of four, you'll hold it to the count of seven, and then exhale to the count of eight. And that extended exhale brings you into that parasympathetic state. So you can do that. I've done that before when I've had trouble sleeping. You know, I'll do that a few times right when I lay down to go to bed. Anytime, I mean, in the middle of the day, if you're stressed, you do that. And that just kind of brings you back down to baseline. So that's one thing that I love is breathing. And so many of us are not breathing properly. And one thing that you can do to test that is you can put one hand on your chest and one on your abdomen and take a deep breath. And which hand moves? Is it your chest or is it your abdomen, right? If it's your abdomen, you're doing great. You're breathing exactly how nature intended for us to breathe. If it's your chest, you're breathing like most people do, and that's using your accessory muscles, not using your diaphragm. So that's a way to help see if you could use some work with your vagus nerve. Just check your breath. Is it your chest or is it your belly moving? Hand on your chest or your belly. So that's a good way to monitor if you're making progress. And then the second thing is I want to give everybody permission to go laugh. Go to a funny movie with your friends. Watch silly reels on Instagram. Just something. And if you can do it outside with other people, even better. You're going to get even more of a boost. But just have a really good laugh. Allow yourself to find that joy and know that you're doing something good for your health.
Yeah, I love that. And we've had other guests say, we had the woman from the podcast, Why Did I Get Cancer? And one of her top tips for people that are trying to, you know, avoid cancer or heal from cancer is just laugh more. Like she makes an effort to laugh like every day. Yeah.
You know, yeah, we kind of lose that as adults. We lose play. We lose joy. It's, you know, there's that to-do list and that, you know, should do. And we just forget about the fact that we're supposed to be joyful. You know, we can tap into that for our health.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I love all this because you're really giving us tactical things we can do to reduce our stress load. You know, when a doctor tells you, oh, you need to reduce your stress, you know, you kind of roll your eyes like, okay, like nothing's really changing, you know, like, I still got to do all this stuff and take care of all these people. Like, but the reality is, you know, that these little things that we do can make a difference. And I think this is really cool that you've given this. And I think everybody definitely has to check out the PDF that we will link because it's so helpful for us. It was really helpful for us to learn about the vagus nerve. And I want to tell everyone that you can connect with Rebecca on Instagram. Her handle is Rebecca Arcina. And she, again, just to mention, she has the free vagus nerve download that you can get off our show notes. And visit Rebecca's website for further info at RebeccaArcina.com.
I just want to let everyone know that I was doing the breathing technique while we were sitting here.
Perfect. And you feel so
better?
Much more grounded.
Right? You could do it anywhere.
That's right. Excellent. Nobody has to know.
Right. Your little secret.
That's right.
Thanks again, Rebecca, for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
The information provided in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended for the purpose of diagnosing, curing, treating, or preventing any disease. We are functional medicine certified health coaches and not licensed medical professionals. The opinions and advice of guests are their own and also not considered to be medical advice. Always consult with a healthcare professional when making any healthy lifestyle changes. We would love to hear from you. Please leave a comment or review. Email us at info@functionalmoms.com. If you enjoyed this episode, please hit the subscribe button.